Well, greetings, folks. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Traditional Naturopath. It's been a long time since we've done a Traditional Naturopath podcast, but given everything that's going on in the world right now, I felt like it was an important time to come back and address some things about your body's natural defenses, and that is your immune system. Your immune system is the key to protecting you from all kinds of outside infections, any kind of outside issues that could try to attack your body. Your body has a natural defense system, okay? And that is your immune system. Now, if you want to boost your immune health, there are things you can do to help boost your immune system. One of the key things is your sleep habits. Sleep and immunity are closely tied together. Inadequate or poor quality sleep is linked to a higher level of sickness. Now, in a recent study of 164 healthy adults, those who slept fewer than 6 hours each night were more likely to catch a cold than those who slept 6 hours or more. Okay? So, it is key. By the way, this is a study that was done by the National Institutes of Health. It is key to get enough sleep. Sleep is not something you can just, well, I'll get around to it. We need to concentrate on having a good quality sleep. And that means preparing for sleep. There are a lot of people that they will exercise and they'll look at what they eat and they'll do all the healthy things they can do. They make sure to go out and walk and they just do a lot of great things, but they put sleep off as if it were not important. And one of the key, there's a lot of things you can do to help your sleep. Let me just go over a few of them, all right? Here's some things you need to avoid. Light, particularly light in the blue tint, like fluorescent lights, can disrupt your circadian rhythms, or that is, affect your body's natural wake-sleep cycle. So, avoid things that give off those artificially tinged lights. These are things like your phone. People constantly reading their phone, even in bed. TV. Watching TV right before you go to bed. Watching TV from bed. Computer and tablet use. These things can affect negatively your circadian rhythms and your sleep cycle. So start tuning out those light distractions. Another thing you can do is when you finally do go to bed, which you should do earlier rather than later, when you do finally go to bed, make your room dark. You know, you're not like a little kid anymore that has to keep the light on at night. And yet a lot of people do that. They don't darken the room that they're sleeping in. Now, this sounds so simple. But the less light you have, the sounder your sleep is likely to be. Another key to getting good sleep is don't eat close to the time that you go to bed. It's a good rule of thumb to try to quit eating in the vicinity of, say, 6 o'clock at night, a little after. And if you go to bed at like 10 o'clock, that gives your body a chance to get past some of the digestion that it's trying to do and begin to relax, begin to tune down, so to speak, all right? Now, a lot of people don't think about, it's like they expect to go to bed and just lay down and boom, go to sleep. Now, there's some people that can do that. Now, actually, I don't have very much problem going to sleep myself. I tend to lay down and go straight to sleep. It's one of the blessings of the way my mind works, I guess. And I appreciate that. But I know a lot of people that have a problem going to sleep. And a lot of it is these very distractions that I'm talking about. Watching TV, reading their tablets or their phones, keeping the lights on, keeping lights on that are artificial lights, like fluorescent lights, deciding to go to bed at midnight and just lay down and expect to drop off to sleep after having all of this. Maybe you've been eating, maybe you've been watching TV, all of these different things. Inadequate sleep can increase your risk of getting sick. Okay, so you need at least 7 hours of sleep per night. And if you were to track your sleep and see that you were sleeping even 8 hours a night, you would be much, much better off. All right? So that's an area that you can begin to concentrate on to improve your immune system. All right, let's look at the second area here. Eat more whole plant foods. Whole plant foods are things like fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, things that are rich in nutrients and antioxidants, which will give you an upper hand when it comes to harmful pathogens that may try to attack your body. Antioxidants in these kinds of foods will decrease inflammation by combating unstable compounds called free radicals, which can cause inflammation in your body, build up in your body, and in fact, chronic inflammation is linked to a lot of health conditions, including heart disease, Alzheimer's, and certain cancers. So what we need to do is concentrate on these healthy, green plant foods. Foods that feed your gut microbiome, which is the community of healthy bacteria in your gut. Now we're going to find out that a proper gut biome, having those probiotics in your system, is going to be a real key to improving your immune system. So, whole plant foods that contain these antioxidants, foods that are high in fiber and vitamin C, and for some of you, you may even need to take supplemental vitamin C. There are a lot of studies that indicate that vitamin C can help boost your immunity. So, a happier, healthier gut with more fiber can improve your immune system. All right, next thing we need to look at, eating healthier fats. Now, I know for many, many years, and you've heard, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you've heard me talk about before that the medical community for many, many, many years absolutely ran down fats of all kinds. And there are bad fats, okay? But we're coming to understand today there are a lot of really good fats that you need. And good fats will decrease inflammation. Healthy fats are those that are found in things like olive oil, salmon, which is, of course, a fish, and other fish oils include some of these healthy fats. Your body's immune response is aided by these healthy fats. It helps decrease inflammation in the body. So if you can combat this by, for instance, using olive oil, which is highly anti-inflammatory, it will decrease your risk of chronic disease, like heart disease and even diabetes. Plus, the anti-inflammatory properties will help your body fight off harmful disease-causing bacteria and viruses. Omega-3 fatty acids, like what you would find in salmon and chia seeds, fight inflammation as well. So again, healthy fats like olive oil, omega-3s, these are highly anti-inflammatory, which is what we want. And chronic inflammation can suppress your immune system. So healthy fats will help combat illness. Now, we'll go back to the healthy gut. Fermented foods, which are rich in beneficial bacteria, are called probiotics. Pro, meaning good, or pro, biotic, which is life. They are pro-life. And antibiotic is against or anti-life, because an antibiotic is usually given to someone to try to kill a bacteria or whatever that is a negative that's trying to effectively make you sick. But unfortunately, antibiotics, now listen to this closely, I'm not telling you not to take antibiotics, but antibiotics are not specific. They're not targeted. Once you take an antibiotic, it begins to kill biotics, which is life. And in the case of an unhealthy bacteria, that's a good thing. But your healthy bacteria can be affected as well. And healthy bacteria in your gut help you to properly digest food. Now, foods that have these natural probiotics are things like yogurt, sauerkraut, kimchi, kefir, natto. Foods that have been in some way, what's a good word for this? Non-processed living food, maybe is a good way of putting it. You want the kind of gut that is beneficial, gut bacteria that is beneficial to you, to help your immune cells and to help increase your immune system's effectiveness. Fermented foods, maybe, is another good way of putting it. Foods that have an element of fermentation to it are beneficial. So if you don't eat enough of these fermented foods like yogurts and sauerkraut and these kinds of things, you might want to consider, and matter of fact, I would strongly encourage you to consider, probiotic supplements. The problem with probiotic supplements is that the probiotic nature of those supplements are easily killed by your stomach's gut acid. All right. So in other words, you may take a probiotic, but if that probiotic is not properly shielded, then when it goes through your stomach, it's destroyed before it ever gets to your small intestine, which is where it's going to do the most good and where you need those probiotics. So what are you going to do? Well, find a probiotic that in effect has this shield or shell that is designed to resist stomach acid, pass through the stomach, and then be released in the small intestine. Now, it's going to take a little bit more careful reading to be sure that the probiotic that you're considering taking has that ability to fend off those stomach acids. But there are some that have these kinds of coatings that will prevent that negative effect from your stomach acid. So again, your gut's health and your immunity is deeply interconnected. Fermented foods and probiotics will bolster your immune system by helping it identify and target harmful pathogens. Next thing we want to do, and it's along the lines of what's going on in your gut again, is limit sugars. Sugars and refined carbs give the antibiotic bacteria in your stomach something to feed on. It provides an environment. Think of it as your digestive system becoming like a petri dish to grow some of these bacteria and things that you don't want growing in your system. And one of the best foundations for a petri dish's growth is sugars. That's what they use in those dishes a lot of times, are things that are natural sugars. So we want to limit the amount of sugars that are in your digestive system. And the best way to do that is to avoid added sugars, avoid refined sugars, and particularly things like corn syrups. Very, very, very detrimental to your proper balance of your gut's flora. So, we want to curb the sugar intake, which will also decrease inflammation. And, of course, it will aid in weight loss, which is reduces your chronic health concerns with regard to weight gain. Okay? So, all of these things, the weight gain, the heart disease, diabetes that might be linked to sugars and so forth, all of these can weaken your immune system. So if you limit these added sugars, it's an important part of an immune-boosting diet. You should strive to limit your sugar intake to less than 5%. I know that sounds like a lot, but less than 5% of your daily calories. Now, that's about 2 tablespoons of sugar for somebody on a 2,000-calorie diet. Again, I know that doesn't sound like much. And in a sense, it isn't as far as the standard American diet. You know, we talk about SAD, S-A-D, the standard American diet. It is full of sugars. And we need to limit those sugars. And one of the ways you can do that is to use something like stevia, a natural herb, that is a sweetener that is not a sugar. It doesn't cause that glycemic reaction that sugar does. So again, added sugars contribute to obesity, to type 2 diabetes, heart disease, all of which can suppress your immune system. Lowering your sugar intake may decrease inflammation and your risk of these conditions. All right. You need to engage in moderate exercise. Now, I know that's preaching to the choir here. If you're listening to the Traditional Naturopath podcast, you know the importance of exercise. But even moderate exercise can boost the effectiveness of your immune system. Now, that's just getting out and walking. Simply walking, getting out in fresh air. By all means, getting some sun on your skin. We've talked about this before. Sun on your skin increases your vitamin D levels. You should not be inside. Now, I know with all the restrictions with this COVID-19 thing that's going on, people are being told to go inside. The point is to social distance yourself from people that might be carriers of disease. But you can get outside, even if it's by yourself, and walk in the sunlight. Get some fresh air. That will help you in so many ways. Take a walk. Just get some moderate exercise. Get some sunlight on your skin to develop vitamin D from the sunlight that you receive. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't be in the sun. You should, in fact, be in the sun, just not for hours at a time. Everything in moderation. So, walking, bicycling, jogging, swimming, light hiking. These are the kinds of things you can do that will increase your body, get some blood flow going, increase your body's immune system. Moderate exercise can reduce inflammation and promote a healthy turnover of immune cells. Cells are replaced in your body. And walking, biking, swimming, these kinds of things will help that healthy turnover of immune cells. Next thing we need to do, stay hydrated. This is something that a lot of Americans particularly don't do. They do not drink enough water. Extreme dehydration can cause headaches, can hinder your physical performance, it can change your mood, can affect your digestion, It can affect your heart and kidney function. These things increase your susceptibility to illness. To prevent dehydration, you should drink enough fluid. Now, here's the key to see if you're getting enough fluid. Are you ready? I know this may seem a little bit on the gross side to think about for some, but when you urinate, your urine should not be bright yellow or dark in color. It should be a light pale yellow. Okay, water, drinking water, enough water will cause your urine to be lighter in color. That's a good, simple indicator as to whether you're getting enough water. If your urine is darker, if it is very bright in color, these are all indications. Now, particularly bright color can be caused, for instance, by taking a lot of vitamin B, and the vitamin B shows up in your urine and is very bright yellow. So, okay, you can adjust for that. But if your urine is constantly bright yellow or darker in color, then you're not getting enough water. Now, a lot of people have asked me, what about tea? What about juice? Those are liquids. Yeah, they are. And they help to a degree. But they also come a lot of times with sweeteners like sugars. Now, if you're drinking tea with stevia, which I love, more power to you. That's great. But just good old plain water is one of the best things you can do to hydrate yourself. And given that dehydration can make you susceptible to illness, be sure that you're drinking plenty of water every day. All right, next item for us to consider. Manage your stress levels. Now, I know right now that's a big deal. There are a lot of people under stress because of all of the publicity around the pandemic. People are fearful. People are worried. Those stress levels need to be managed. Long-term stress can promote inflammation in the body and cause imbalances in your immune system. Prolonged psychological stress can suppress immune response. Okay, so you need to de-stress. Now, what can you do? Meditation, physical exercise, journaling. And when I say journaling, I'm talking about writing down, just almost like a stream of consciousness, what you're thinking. There are other mindful practices. If you're a Christian, prayer. You know, there is a prayer for those that, as I am, a spirit-filled Christian, praying in the Spirit. The Word of God says that praying in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues, will bring you rest, will bring you peace. So I encourage you, if you are a Spirit-filled Christian, pray in the Holy Ghost. That will be a benefit to you. I know a lot of you may not be, so meditate, journal, exercise, de-stress your life. There may be people in your life you need to stay away from. There are people that get you wound up, that make you mad. Well, if you're constantly hanging around those people, your stress levels are going to go up. So, cut yourself off to a certain degree, as best as you're capable of doing, from those people. Yeah, but I'm married to so-and-so. Now, hold on. I'm not saying leave your husband or wife, but you can still decrease stress, all right? I know some of you are going, oh, Dr. Bill said I could. No. Shame on you. All right, next thing we want to do, supplement wisely. Now, you can over-supplement. I know hearing that from a naturopath is probably unusual. But there are things you can take that will overdo and cause stress on your body. So supplement wisely. I've already mentioned vitamin C. That is a key thing. Now, taking 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C might sound like a lot, like over-supplementing, but vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin, and it is safe to a large degree. 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams is not a huge megadose. 10,000, 20,000, okay, maybe that's a megadose, but 1,000 to 2,000 is not that much. And that amount, 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C, has been shown to reduce the duration of colds by 8% in adults and 14% in children. Now, it didn't prevent the cold, but it can help them shorten in duration. All right? Vitamin D. Vitamin D deficiency will increase your chance of getting sick. So supplementing that may counter that effect. Now, taking more vitamin D than you need isn't really beneficial. So there's a fine line here. But the best way to produce vitamin D is get out in the sun and let the sun produce it naturally in your skin. I'm going to keep saying that until somebody gets it. All right, zinc. Zinc is another key nutrient that will help you, particularly with colds. Supplementing with more than 75 milligrams of zinc per day will decrease or reduce the duration of a cold by 33%. That's pretty significant. Elderberry is another one that will help reduce symptoms of viral upper respiratory infections. Elderberry. Echinacea, again, another one. People taking echinacea recover from colds more quickly than those who received a placebo or no treatment in a study that they did. This was a study done by the National Institutes of Health again. Garlic, another key nutrient. High-quality 12-week study of 146 people found that supplementing with garlic reduced the incidence of the common cold by about 30%. Now, as usual, there's going to be a lot more research into that. But garlic will also help your heart. Garlic is very beneficial to your immune system. So that's something else that you can do. Now, all of these things are things you can do to help boost your immune system. I am not saying that they prevent COVID-19. Do not misquote me. What I am saying is they will increase your immune system's effectiveness and response, and your immune system is a key for you to stay healthy. You do not want a deficient immune system in the midst of a pandemic. I think I should say that again. You do not want a decreased or inefficient immune system in the midst of a pandemic. You should be doing what is necessary to keep your immune system working in top condition. All right, I trust that what I've shared with you here has been helpful, that it's something that is beneficial to you. Again, I am not making any claims of, you know, healing disease or stopping COVID-19 in its tracks. What I'm saying is an efficient, well-tuned, to use a term, immune system is much beneficial, more beneficial than a poor immune system in the midst of something like what we're facing right now. So I encourage you to stay safe, stay well, and as I always tell you, you are the person most responsible for your health.